Hello and welcome to the Cardinal News of Virginia, a podcast from Cardinal News. We're a nonprofit news outlet covering Southwest and Southside Virginia at cardinalnews.org. And the Cardinal podcast is sponsored by Muneris, serving communities with expert group benefits and Medicare solutions. I'm Duchy Jesse, and today on the podcast, I am welcoming Cardinal News's founder and executive director, and that's Luann Reif. Hi, Luann.
Hi, Duchy. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming and sitting down for the first time on this podcast. You're here today because we're going to be talking about public notices, which may not sound like it's a big deal. It may sound like a technical thing, but there's a lot going on in that in the realm of, I guess, nonprofit news and online news in particular, just online news in general. How that's shifting the whole media landscape and the news landscape. So we have recently begun publishing public notices in Cardinal News. Let's start by just reminding people who may not be familiar. What are public notices?
Okay, so we don't want people's eyes to glaze over and drop off right. When we talk about public notices. So public notices are often referred to as legals because governments and certain types of actions that are taken, we'll talk mostly about governments, right? Mm-hmm. They are legally required to give the public notice of certain actions. And so, you know, if you go way back in the day, you'd have, you know, town criers posting notices on doors. So that's where public notices, so that the public knew what types of actions were taking. Mm-hmm. You know, you move forward to a century or so ago, and most states started requiring governments and certain types of actions to have public notices published in newspapers, the newspaper of record for an area, so that the public, again, would know, you know, say if your city council planned to raise taxes or there was a zoning hearing coming up or, you know, sometimes there's ones for adoptions. It's just to give people to be transparent about government actions.
And some of that, you mentioned a couple of examples. It might be a meeting that's coming up where they want the public there. There's an opportunity for the public to take part or to speak at the meeting. It also might be very precise things like a government dealing with one citizen over a particular issue on their property or something like that, right?
That's correct, Duchy.
Yeah. Okay, so public notices, they've been around for a long time, as you said, and traditionally they needed to be published in physical newspapers, the old print newspapers that used to come to our doorsteps and be in vending machines and all that good stuff. So now with online news, and Cardinal News is an online-only publication like hundreds of others around the nation that have been popping up in the last couple of decades for sure, How has that worked with online? Tell me about that.
So let's go back a little bit to the public notices in the traditional legacy newspapers. You know, paper subscribers, they may not even have known that they were looking at public notices because they generally are the lead off in a classified section. And they're written mostly in legalese. And very few people read them, except perhaps if you're somebody who likes to bid on certain types of contracts. So you're looking for, oh, they're taking bids on, you know, paving a road. Or if you're a journalist. Journalists were probably the biggest readers of public notices so that you knew whether somebody was having a special meeting or they were doing something because they have to give this legal notice so they can't hide and just meet and take an action. So most people don't even know that they're happening. And it's become rather expensive to put these legal notices in papers because they had cornered the market. Mm-hmm. And this was, there's no competition. And so they could charge whatever they wanted. And
right, it's a revenue source.
Oh, it's definitely a revenue source. It's a big revenue source, especially when you are the only entity that can take this and somebody must publish. So they must publish, they must pay whatever you want it to pay. And I've even heard from certain local government officials that they wanted to hold a special meeting and they couldn't because it was cost prohibitive to just run, you know, a few lines. We're having a special meeting. And so there has been a movement with local government agencies, especially, who say, hey, nobody reads these things. They're just buried in the back of the paper. We all have websites. We can just put it on our website. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not good for the public either, right, because you're trusting that the okay, everybody's going to go to their, right, website and see it. So you need an independent source, a place to put these public notices where everybody has access, freely access to it. So what has happened is that, you know, the online news organizations are growing and are starting to have more viewers or subscribers or people coming to their site. And meanwhile, circulation numbers have just plummeted at the print papers. And so nobody's seeing these things. Mm-hmm. And they also have paywalls. And while they are legally required to have public notices in front of a paywall, nobody, mm-hmm, knows that.
Right.
Right? So there was an effort by the online news agencies in Virginia to try and be able to publish these, to become a, end quote, legal, mm-hmm, newspaper, defined as a newspaper. And so one of the things that's really interesting about this is Virginia is the first and I think still the only state that has legally defined online news organizations as legal as newspapers for the purpose of publishing public notices.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just start up any old thing, right? You can't be what's called a news aggregator where you're just getting everybody's stories that they're doing and putting it out there. That's not a legal that doesn't meet the definition.
Right.
You have to, you know, be actually covering news in a community in order to, mm-hmm, meet the definition.
You said, you kind of breezed by it, Virginia online news organizations then made an effort to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal, and weren't you heavily involved in that?
It was a big deal. There were others, too, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, there, right, were a lot of them. So what had happened is the online news organizations, who are members of the Virginia Press Association,
mm-hmm,
and we'll skip back, I think it was 2002, 2003, I'm not sure which year, we were still only considered associate members of Virginia Press Association. We weren't full memberships, couldn't sit on the board. You know, we could do committees, and we're growing. The, mm-hmm, rest aren't, right? And there was an effort by the online news organizations to say, this is a revenue stream. Mm-hmm. We bring more people to see these public notices, and we're legally cut off from having these because there's a component with it. Like, sure, I could, you know, if you did, you could publish this notice, but you have to be able to provide an affidavit, mm-hmm, and we can get into all of that, mm-hmm, technical, and I mean, it gets really complicated fast, right? So we had tried to go to the General Assembly, mm-hmm, and ask for this. And the General Assembly in a committee, I can't remember which committee, just asked VPA, you know, what do you think about this? And they said, like, no, we're, yeah, not doing this. And so why not? Mm-hmm. Because they were protecting who their full members, right?
Right.
Or they were
legacy.
Just legacy. Yep. They were just, you know, because this is something that was very important as a, mm-hmm, revenue stream for them. And so we went back basically and said, hey, we're members, we're paying a lot of dues, and that we're growing, and we will grow our own organization. Mm-hmm. We would really like to be part of VPA and help you grow, mm-hmm, and you know, work for strong local news across the state. But if you're going to work against us, that doesn't work for us. And so, you know, and the legacy papers, too, that are their members are seeing, hey, the future is we're cutting back on print editions as, mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm, right? I mean, there's very few newspapers that publish daily anymore. Most of them cut back to 2, maybe 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So they are eventually going to all be moving online. And so I think they're looking to the future, too,
right,
that if this definition didn't change, then how could they be considered the paper of record as well to be publishing?
Who did you have to talk to? Well, I guess let's back up to the actual legislation and making this a thing that we can do. When did that happen? And how long of a process was that to get it to the point where, yes, it was passed?
So it happened rather quickly. You know, you say about like watching the, it's interesting having been, you know, a journalist for many decades and watching the process unfold with legislation and being part of it. It's totally different. Look at how the sausage is made. This change in the language basically slipped by unnoticed by most people because again, VPA was with it. It took a whole, several months of, the online talking through with the other members with VPA to come up with language that we all agreed on, you know, as far as how do you establish that an online news organization is a legitimate paper. And so then once that language was all crafted, there were a number of legislators who were in favor of doing this. And so it just really, it moved quickly unnoticed between, you know, both the Senate and the House. You know, we all contacted our delegation and other members to say, hey, this is what we're doing, if you have any questions or information. But it basically, it just, because everyone was in agreement, it just sailed through. And then some of the complicated parts have come afterwards.
Right. And so speaking of that, once it's passed, that's great, but that's only one step. Because the work of actually getting it, making it happen and publishing them involves communication and visits with all the different localities that we're trying to publish notices for. And Cardinal News, just as a reminder, we cover Southwest and Southside Virginia, so dozens and dozens of cities and counties. Talk about that process a little bit. And it's an ongoing process, we should say. Like, we'll continue to start publishing notices for, you know, the counties that maybe right now we aren't yet, we haven't gotten to them yet, or that. So talk a little bit about what you had to do.
Okay.
And so, conversations you had.
Right. So it was sort of, you know, there's two things going on, right? One is trying to meet all the technical requirements of the law because, you know, you define this and then you say, well, how do you get to do this? That's a long, involved process. So one of the first things we had to do, and this is something the online news organizations have to do, but the print papers do not. At some point, I think they'll probably have to, and they should. We have to have a certified web audit done every year. It's expensive. It is very involved. Every quarter, I have to send all kinds of figures about our audience, and who's coming to our website, who's reading our newsletters. And it's not just members. It's trying to establish demographics for all of this. And so, you know, our audits become part of the public record, too. So anybody could come. And, you know, when our sponsorship manager is out talking to businesses that might want to support us and buying sponsorships, she can say, we have certified numbers. This is how many people, you know, that we've been audited. We have this. And so we can't just make up numbers and say, oh, we got 10,000 people looking at that, right, or 20,000. I mean, we can tell you exactly, at least as it's audited, right? So once the certified audit was done, then we had to so then the next step is, well, you need permission. You need to be certified by the circuit court in the locality that you want to accept these notices. So in Virginia, you know, there are circuit courts, and then there's courts within the circuit court. And naively, I thought, oh, you just go to the top of, like, for instance, here in Roanoke, you got Roanoke County, Salem. Yeah. Like, you think because it's the same judges that see all of them, so you think you should just do that. Well, no, that doesn't work that way. You have to go to each court with your audits and with your petition and everything else. And then I found out that we couldn't do that ourselves, that you had to have a lawyer do it. Because if you're a corporation in Virginia, you can't go to the court yourself. You have to have representation. So
We're a nonprofit, we should say, but it's still required.
We are a nonprofit. Yeah. So you've got to pay. So we've had to pay for, we have to keep paying for this audit. We have to pay filing fees at each of these courts. And as you said, we cover what, how many counties?
Dozens of counties. I kept it generic. It's a lot.
And plus, you know, independent cities. And so Ross Hart, you know, he's just such a great fan and friend of Cardinal News. And, you know, he offered his services to do this because he was sort of fascinated by this new law and this change in direction. Yeah. Or we probably couldn't have done it. And so he was, you know, one by one going to each of these courts, and it may have been the same judge,
right?
But you know, you're
sitting in a different courtroom,
right? You'd still have to do it in a time involved, right? So then, meanwhile, you know, okay, so you can take these. How do you take them, right? Because we have such limited staff and limited capacity, and so there's a service, a vendor called Column, and most people were already who place these public notices were already familiar with the system because they do it for a lot of the newspapers, and so that makes it easy for, you know, if you wanted to place a public notice, you go on to Column and you click on us and you fill all of this
stuff. So it's self-serve, basically.
It basically is, but there were a lot of, you know, with any new technology, new thing, there's always these glitches. And so up until this point, because now we've gotten quite a few of courts, we've sort of soft launched this. We've let people know we have it, but we haven't really gone far. I guess this will help, right?
Hopefully.
Get the word out. So, you know, we wanted to work out all of the bugs because not only do you have to take the notice, then you have to send the invoice. And the most important part is after you publish it, providing this affidavit that proves you published this public notice in case anything is ever challenged in court, right? But on the other side of that, you know, I'm thinking, well, how can we be of service? Because again, you go back to these things used to be buried. They're buried back in the classified ads. Nobody reads them. You know, that everyone thinks they're not relevant. And so how do you fend off this local governments wanting to just publish them on their website, which is a bad idea?
Right.
And we could talk all day about that. But so what kind of service could we provide? So while we were going through all of that process, I started talking to some people who actually place these ads, county administrators, you know, city officials, you know, the like. And what I found most fascinating about this is I expected that I would hear, hey, these are really cost prohibitive. You know, we'd like to have choice and, you know, competition in the marketplace and so on and so forth. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We can help with that. But the thing that just really, really surprised me is they really want the public to see these notices. Mm-hmm. That, you know, as coverage of city governments, local governments has contracted because of all of the changes in the local newscape. People are becoming less informed, and they're not knowing about things before they happen. And so oftentimes you'll see that a decision is made and then the public finds out,
right,
and they become all up in arms, and then they show up and they want, you know, a council or board of supervisors to reverse their decision, and it becomes this big controversy. Or they have meetings where no one ever shows up.
Right.
I was talking to one town manager and said they haven't had a member of the public since the pandemic. And that's,
yeah,
that's just, so we felt as though, what could we do with these public notices so that the public really knows what is going on? So when we get a public notice in, our news department writes just a sentence in plain language what this...
So not legalese.
Not legalese, because some of that is really, you know, what does this mean? And so then every day in our newsletter that we have a new public notice, we put in a sentence that says, you know, again, we'll go back to, you know, Roanoke City Council is having a special meeting to talk about...
Meals tax
or whatever. And so then people know that they can go and find out more information about this.
This is fundamental, almost like retraining, I feel like, with the advent of social media and other forms of, other places people can consume information. I'll just leave it at that. But this idea of kind of retraining people, hey, if you know where to look, and that's key here, because everything was in the paper, right? And they might not see it in classifieds, or they might if they knew to look for it. What we're trying to do at Cardinal News is make it so that people do see this, do with it what you will, but at least be aware, hey, here is a meeting that's coming up that you might be interested in. Come to it, or at least find out about it, mm-hmm. so that if it does become a story later that Samantha is covering for Cardinal News, that you were aware that this was happening instead of in the dark. You mentioned the newsletter and where it's found in the newsletter, and that the reporters make it easy to understand in a brief sentence what's going on. On the website, how do people know what they're looking for?
Mm-hmm. So if you go to cardinalnews.org, in the very top, you'll see a little tab for public notices. And if you click on that, it'll tell you about our public notice program. And you can also click on that and you can read all of the public notices mm-hmm. that we've published, starting with, you know, the freshest first and moving on down the line. But if you want to know more about really what's happening all in Virginia with the public notices, there is every notice that's published has to go into a state data bank. And you'll find a link there, too, mm-hmm. that you could go and you could do searches from, you know, years ago to look for certain actions that were taken. And there's just a wealth of information there.
Oh, good. Real quick, since we've been publishing them at Cardinal News now for, a couple months maybe, something like that?
Yeah, I think April.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of feedback are you getting? And that could be from readers or from some of these very local government officials and personnel. What kind of feedback and reaction did you get to the fact that now we were going to offer this? Because it's important to remind people, and I know this sounds like shameless promotion, and it is, but we are paywall free. I think people have gotten so used to running into a paywall. It's just part of it now. But we specifically, nonprofit news organizations like ours, have a mission to not put up a paywall so that you can see everything, including public notices. What kind of reaction did you get?
Mm-hmm. So I was hearing from, people that's got to place them in multiple estate agencies, right? And as we started, because we were getting one court at a time, right, they were saying, let us know as soon as you get the certification. And so there was a great interest in knowing how many we were going to get and were we going to get all of them. We haven't really gotten a lot of feedback other than I have, you know, just overhear somebody talking about, oh, there's a meeting coming up for this, or, oh, did you see that? And so mm-hmm. that makes me feel good because, right. you know, people are talking about these things and they're seeing it. And so I think the more we do, the more we get word out that we're taking these and the more that we publish, you know, all the better. Because as you go back, we're never going to have I don't want to say never, but I don't think that we will ever have 100 people, 100 reporters in our mm-hmm, newsroom
right,
covering
right.
everything. So this is, you know, one way that we can help people know what is going on.
Right. And Cardinal News has been an example to other news outlets because now other outlets in other states are asking about this, right?
That's correct, Dutchie. There's efforts underway in several other states. I was asked to talk about this at a national convention for line publishers so that they could find out how to do this and, how it's working out.
Well, thank you very much, Lou Ann Reif. She is the founder of Cardinal News and also our executive director. And Lou Ann, if someone listening or who reads Cardinal wants to get a hold of you for any reason, how can they email you?
Same way they can email everyone here.
It's easy.
First name. Mine is spelled Luanne.
At cardinalnews.org. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the Cardinal News of Virginia. Also want to thank our sponsor, Muneris, and our own Sherry Quinley and Zach Shelton for production support. Find all our paywall-free journalism at cardinalnews.org. I'm Dutchie Jessie.